Ellie comes in from the garden, looking anything but happy.
Oh, here is Ellie at last!
Guinness said you wanted me, you and Papa?
You have kept us waiting so long that it almost came to... Well, never mind. Your father is a very wonderful man.
She ruffles his hair affectionately.
The only one I ever met who could resist me when I made myself really agreeable. Come here, I have something to show you. Look.
Ellie contemplates Mangan without interest.
I know, he is only asleep. We had to talk after dinner, and he fell asleep in the middle of it.
You did it, Ellie. You put him asleep.
Oh, I hope not. Did you, Ellie?
He asked me to.
But it's dangerous. You know what's happened to me.
Oh, I dare say I can wake him. If not, somebody else can.
It doesn't matter anyhow, because I have at last persuaded your father that you don't want to marry him.
But why did you do that, Hesione? I do want to marry him. I fully intend to marry him.
Are you quite sure, Ellie? Mrs. Hushabye has made me feel that I may have been thoughtless and selfish about it.
Papa, when Mrs. Hushabye takes it on herself to explain to you what I think or don't think, shut your ears tight and shut your eyes too. Hesione knows nothing about me. She hasn't the least notion of the sort of person I am and never will. I promise you I won't do anything I don't want to do and mean to do for my own sake.
You are quite sure?
Quite sure. Now you must go away and leave me to talk to Mrs. Hushabye.
But I should like to hear. Shall I be in the way?
I had rather talk to her alone.
Oh well, I know what a nuisance parents are, dear. I'll be good and go. By the way, do you remember the address of that professional who woke me up? Do you think I had better telegraph to him?
It's too late to telegraph tonight.
I suppose so. Oh, I do hope he'll wake up in the course of the night.
He goes out into the garden.
Hesione, what the devil do you mean by making mischief with my father about Mangan?
Don't you dare speak to me like that, you little minx. Remember that you are in my house.
Stuff! Why don't you mind your own business? What is it to you whether I choose to marry Mangan or not?
Do you suppose you can bully me, you miserable little matrimonial adventurer?
Every woman who hasn't any money is a matrimonial adventurer. It's easy for you to talk. You have never known what it is to want money. And you can pick up men as if they were daisies. I am poor and respectable.
Huh, respectable? How did you pick up Mangan? How did you pick up my husband? You have the audacity to tell me that I am a
siren. So you are. You were born to lead men by the nose. If you weren't, Marcus would have waited for me, perhaps.
Oh, my poor Ellie, my pettikins, oh, my unhappy darling. I am so sorry about Hector. But what can I do? It's not my fault. I'd give him to you if I could.
I don't blame you for that.
What a brute I was to quarrel with you and call you names. Do kiss me and say you're not angry with me.
Oh, don't slop and gush and be sentimental. Don't you see that unless I can be hard as nails, I shall go mad. I don't care a damn about your calling me names. Do you think a woman in my situation can feel a few hard words?
Poor little woman. Poor little situation.
I suppose you think you're being sympathetic. You are just foolish and stupid and selfish. You see me getting a smasher right in the face that kills a whole part of my life, the best part that can never come again. And you think you can help me over it by a little coaxing and kissing when I want all the strength I can get to lean on, something iron. Something stony. I don't care how cruel it is. You go all mushy and want to slobber over me. I'm not angry. I'm not unfriendly. But for God's sake, do pull yourself together. And don't think that because you're on velvet, and always have been, women who are in hell can take it as easily as you.
Very well. But I warn you that when I am neither coaxing and kissing, nor laughing, I am just wondering how much longer I can stand living in this cruel, damnable world. You object to the siren? Well, I drop the siren. You want to rest your wounded bosom against a grindstone? Well, here is the grindstone.
That's better. You really have the trick of falling in with everyone's mood. But you don't understand, because you are not the sort of woman for whom there is only one man and one chance.
I certainly don't understand how your marrying that object will console you for not being able to marry Hector.
Perhaps you don't understand why I was quite a nice girl this morning, and now neither a girl nor particularly nice.
Oh, yes, I do. It's because you have made up your mind to do something despicable and wicked.
I don't think so, Hesione. I must make the best of my ruined house.
Pooh! You'll get over it. Your house is not ruined.
Of course I shall get over it. You don't suppose I'm going to sit down and die of a broken heart, I hope, or be an old maid living on a pittance from the sick and indigent room keepers association. But my heart is broken all the same. What I mean by that is that I know that what has happened to me with Marcus will not happen to me ever again. In the world for me, there is Marcus and a lot of other men of whom one is just the same as another. Well, if I can't have love, that's no reason why I should have poverty. If Megan has nothing else, he has money.
And are there no young men with money?
Not within my reach. Besides, a young man would have the right to expect love from me, and would perhaps leave me when he found out I could not give it to him. Rich young men can get rid of their wives, you know, pretty cheaply. But this object, as you call him, can expect nothing more from me than I am prepared to give him.
He will be your owner, remember? If he buys you, he will make the bargain pay him, and not you. Ask your father.
You need not trouble on that score, Hesione. I have more to give Boss Mangan than he has to give me. It is I who am buying him, and at a pretty good price too, I think. Women are better at that sort of bargain than men. I have taken the boss's measure, and 10 Boss Mangans shall not prevent me doing far more as I please as his wife than I have ever been able to do as a poor girl.
Ellie stoops to the recumbent figure.
Shall they, boss? I think not.
She passes on to the drawing table and leans against the end of it, facing the windows.
I shall not have to spend most of my time wondering how long my gloves will last, anyhow.
Ellie, you are a wicked, sordid little beast. And to think that I actually condescended to fascinate that creature there to save you from him. Well, let me tell you this. If you make this disgusting match, you will never see Hector again if I can help it.
I nailed Mangan by telling him that if he did not marry me, he should never see you again.
Oh!
So you see, I am not unprepared for your playing that trump against me. Well, you just try it, that's all. I should have made a man of Marcus, not a household pet.
You dare!
Set him thinking about me if you dare.
Well, of all the impudent little fiends I ever met, Hector says there is a certain point at which the only answer you can give to a man who breaks all the rules is to knock him down. What would you say if I were to box your ears?
I should pull your hair.
Oh, that wouldn't hurt me. Perhaps it comes off at night.
Oh, you don't mean to say, Hesione, that your beautiful black hair is false.
Don't tell Hector, he believes in it.
Oh, even the hair that ensnared him, false. Everything false.
Pull it and try. Other women can snare men in their hair, but I can swing a baby on mine. Ha ha ha, you can't do that.
No, you have stolen my babies.
Pettigans, don't make me cry. You know what you said about my making a household pet of him is a little true. Perhaps he ought to have waited for you. Would any other woman on earth forgive you?
Oh, what right had you to take him all for yourself? There, you couldn't help it. Neither of us could help it. He couldn't help it. No, don't say anything more. I can't bear it. Let us wake the object.
She begins stroking Mangan's head,
reversing the movement with which she put him to sleep.
Wake up, do you hear? You are to wake up at once. Wake up, wake up, wake!
Mangan bounces out of the chair in a fury and turns on them.
Wake up! So you think I've been asleep, do you?
He kicks the chair violently back out of his way and gets between them.
Throw me into a trance so that I can't move hand or foot. I might have been buried alive. It's a mercy I wasn't. And then you think I was only asleep? If you let me drop the 2 times you rolled me about, my nose would have been flattened for life against the floor. But I found you all out anyhow. I know the sort of people I'm among now. I've heard every word you said, you and your precious father, and you, Mrs. Hushabye, you too. So I'm an object, am I? I'm a thing, am I? I'm a fool that hasn't sense enough to feed myself properly, am I? I'm afraid of the men that would starve if it weren't for the wages I give them, am I? I'm nothing but a disgusting old skinflint to be made a convenience of by designing women and fool managers of my works, am I?
Mr. Mangan, you are bound in honor to obliterate from your mind all you heard while you were pretending to be asleep. It was not meant for you to hear.
Pretending to be asleep? Do you think if I was only pretending that I would sprawl there helpless and listen to such unfairness, such lies, such injustice, and plotting, and backbiting, and slandering? Of me, if I could up and told you what I thought of you, I wonder I didn't burst.
You dreamt it all, Mr. Mangan. We were only saying how beautifully peaceful you looked in your sleep. That was all, wasn't it, Ellie? Believe me, Mr. Mangan, all those unpleasant things came into your mind in the last half second before you woke. Ellie rubbed your hair the wrong way, and the disagreeable sensation suggested a disagreeable dream.
I believe in dreams.
So do I, but they go by contraries, don't they?
Shan't forget to my dying day that when you gave me the glad eye that time in the garden, you were making a fool of me. That was a dirty, low, mean thing to do. You had no right to let me come near you if I disgusted you. It isn't my fault if I'm old and haven't a mustache like a bronze candlestick as your husband has. There are things no decent woman would do to a man, like a man hitting a woman in the breast.
Hesione, utterly ashamed, sits down on the sofa and covers her face with her hands.
Mangan sits down also on his chair and begins to cry like a child.
Ellie stares at them.
Mrs. Hushabye, at the distressing sound he makes, takes down her hands and looks at him.
She rises and runs to him.
Don't cry. I can't bear it. Have I broken your heart? I didn't know you had one. How could I?
I'm a man, ain't I?
Oh, no, not what I call a man. Only a boss, just that and nothing else. What business has a boss with a heart?
Then you're not a bit sorry for what you did, nor ashamed?
I was ashamed for the first time in my life when you said that about hitting a woman in the breast. And I found out what I'd done. My very bones blushed red. You've had your revenge, boss. Aren't you satisfied?
Serve you right, do you hear? Serve you right. You're just cruel. Cruel!
Yes. Cruelty would be delicious if one could only find some sort of cruelty that didn't really hurt. By the way, what is your name? It's not really boss, is it?
Well, if you want to know, my name is Alfred.
Alfred! Ellie! He was christened after Tennyson.
I was christened after my uncle and never had a penny from him. Damn him, what of it?
It comes to me suddenly that you are a real person, that you had a mother like anyone else. Little Alf.
Well, you have a nerve.
And you have a heart, Alfie. A whimpering little heart, but a real one. Now run and make it up with Ellie. She's had time to think of what to say to you, which is more than I have.
She goes out quickly into the garden by the port door.
Che pare la